Simon knows everything about fish. He's been fishing all his life, ever since he was a little bitty kid out with his father. His brothers, his cousins, his uncles, his dad, all of the men going back over generations knew all about fish. Simon's been awake all night. All night, he and his partner had been throwing the net out into the sea and bringing nothing back into the boat. They've given up. They know there are no fish here. They pull the boats in. They're cleaning the nets. They're ready to go home and maybe sleep a little bit. And Jesus comes walking along, and he says, I want to go out into your boat. And Simon goes out with him. And Jesus teaches. And after he finishes teaching, he says, let's go out a little deeper. Let's go out a little deeper. So Simon takes the boat out a little bit deeper. And he says, throw your nets out. Simon knows all about fish. He knows that you catch fish at night or early in the morning. He knows that if the sun is shining, you are not going to catch the first fish. And he throws his net into the water. And he pulls back more fish than he could have dreamed of. He throws the net out. In obedience, not because he believes it's going to do any good, but because Jesus told him to, and he recognizes his authority. And because he acted in obedience, he was rewarded with more abundance than he ever could have imagined. Now, obedience is not an easy thing. You may have noticed that. We sometimes say that we're obedient when we're doing something that we wanted to do anyway, or something that we can see a really good result arising from, or understanding that there might be a good reason for the directive we've been given. We call that obedience when we go along that line. But it's not obedience. It's agreeing. It's going with the plan. It's saying, okay, let's not make any waves. Obedience is a response to authority. And sometimes it's really difficult to go where we don't believe there will be any good to come from our actions. But that's exactly what Simon did. He was obedient. And we are also called to be obedient because we are the children of God and we do have Jesus to teach us. We have scripture, we have tradition, we have all of those things that tell us how to be obedient, kind of writ large. The difficulty comes when we try to figure out what authority is and what kind of action to take in response to that authority. Jesus gives us one rule above all of them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. He reminds us of this law that was given generations before him. It's not new to him. What he stuck in there was, do not be afraid. And sometimes our fear does get in the way of our being obedient. We're afraid of what people might think. We're afraid of what people might say. We're afraid of people, what people might do when we're obedient. And so we're a little bit leery about that. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, love your enemies. Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you. None of those things sound like a lot of fun to me. And there are times when I struggle. But what I try to remember is that this love that Jesus speaks of is not that warm, fuzzy feeling that we get when we think of someone with affection. It's not that feeling that all the merchandisers in the world are trying to engender as we look forward to Valentine's. It's not a Hallmark card. It's not a dozen roses at 400% markup for this week. It's none of those things. It's action in obedience to the knowledge that we are all God's children. It's love in action that Jesus calls us to. And then how do we discern what the action is? How do we act in love? Sometimes it's very difficult to figure that one out. So, the good people who put together this latest version, the 1977, that's the latest version, of our Book of Common Prayer, gave us some assistance. They looked at the whole issue of baptism, and they said, well, we have what we've been given through the ages. We have the Apostles' Creed, which is essentially the baptismal questions that people have been responding to for 2,000 years. And he said, that says what we believe, but how are we transformed? If baptism is a transformational event, and we continue to be transformed after that, what needs to happen? So they put together these vows, our baptismal covenant vows. There are five of them. And they are meant to guide us in our transformation. Because if we follow them, if we strive to follow them in obedience to Jesus' teaching, we will be transformed, and we are transformed. Now, I never can remember all five of those promises, but they're on page 304 in the Book of Common Prayer if you'd like to have a little refresher. The two that I have most trouble with are seek and serve Christ in all people and respect everyone. Those two, mercy. Following the tradition of worship and learning, sometimes I don't quite get around to that, but the other two are the ones that really are difficult for me. I counted up. There were three times yesterday when I struggled, and once already this morning. And it's not even 11 o'clock yet. But I keep trying, because that's what we do when we're obedient. And the marvelous thing about that is that whenever we're faced with one of these choices in our lives, we're also faced with opportunity. We're faced with the opportunity to listen for for Jesus' voice, to listen for His teaching. We're faced with an opportunity to be transformed, to step forward one more step into our journey as followers of Christ. We have an opportunity to feel the Holy Spirit working within us. We have an opportunity to carry the light of Christ and to be the light of Christ in this world. And like Simon, when we step out in obedience, when we do what we're told to do through the authority of Christ, not only does abundance follow, the abundance of the Spirit in us, but we also become fishers of people. Because when people see us acting in a way that's transformed, when they see us being kind, when it would be easier, a lot easier, not to be, people notice. And they may not ask you, why did you do that? But they notice. And who knows where the ripple goes? So when that opportunity comes, when you hear Christ calling you to love your neighbor as yourself, step into it. Join me in trying and maybe failing. But in being obedient to the one who calls us to love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. When we do that, we can trust that the living Christ is with us, holding us and strengthening us and inspiring us. And to that I say, thanks be to God.